From JetBooks, this is Irish Business Builders, a show about great Irish businesses and the people who built them. Head to jetbooks.ie/resources to pick up our free step-by-step guide on how to automate your bookkeeping.
One of the most important things for successful communications is doing it in a creative way. Creativity is at the core of everything we do. We were the first agency in Ireland to have a creative director.
I'm Conor Carney, and that's the voice of Rona Blake, Managing Director of Fleishman Hillard Ireland, which, if you haven't heard of it, is one of the world's largest communications agencies. Rona and her team work with all sorts of clients, from large multinational companies to smaller businesses and startups. And in this conversation, Rona talks about her early days in public relations, what it takes to build a successful PR agency, and how an early opportunity led to gaining a crucial mentor and eventually a career-long business partnership. I started out by asking Rona to tell me about Fleishman Hillard in Ireland and the services they provide.
Fleishman Hillard is one of the world's largest PR companies, international communications companies. It is headquartered in St. Louis, Missouri. It was founded there nearly 80 years ago. It's an extremely successful business. We have over 80 offices around the world. The Fleishman Hillard presence in Ireland started in 1990. So we marked 30 years in business this year.
And were you one of the founding members of that?
I was. I know I don't look like I could be 30 years doing anything, but yes, I was. So I went to work for a guy called John Saunders in 1985, and it was my first job. He was running a PR agency with his partner, John Butterley, and the agency was called Pembroke PR. So I started my career at Pembroke PR and worked there for over 4 years. And then a few of us who worked there, led by John Saunders, left the agency. He had set up an agency called John Saunders and Associates. We worked there for around a year, and then we became partners with Fleishman Hillard. They were looking to set up an agency in Ireland because they had clients who wanted to provide a service for in Ireland. So they knew John Saunders and they knew myself and Julian Davis, the Three Musketeers. So they knew us because they had hired us back in 1986 when Budweiser came to Ireland. So Budweiser is the beer brand, is headquartered in St. Louis, Missouri also. So those two companies were already working together. Fleishman Hillard was a communications agency for Budweiser and for all of Anheuser-Busch. So they decided, Anheuser-Busch decided that Budweiser would sponsor the Irish Derby, which was a massive sponsorship. And it was part of the launch of Budweiser in Europe. And they came to Ireland. They negotiated the sponsorship and then they went and looked for communications support. And we pitched for the business and we won the business. So a wonderful relationship started back then with Fleishman Hillard. This was something that John Saunders had always wanted to do because he knew that public relations was far more advanced in America. And the way to be best in class and the way to do this was to learn from experienced people who had run agencies successfully. So that was the start of Fleishman Hillard in Ireland. John Saunders was the managing director. Julian was number two, and he was a director. And then I was sort of trailing behind, but I was a director and I had invested myself in the business and was a shareholding. John was the visionary, really, really incredibly smart guy. His background was in journalism and he had worked on the sports team at RTE. And Julian's background was also in journalism. He was a TV producer at RTE. So they had expertise and experience. I kind of cleaned up the mess after them. And I learned a huge amount from them in those early years. And I was their like client executive. And when we set up Fleishman Hillard, then I became a director of the business. And we really worked incredibly hard. But we had started a great business back then.
And what way does the Irish business fit in to the global structure? Is it a franchise agreement or what way does that work?
In 2001, Fleishman Hillard acquired the agency office. So we sold it. And interestingly, we all stayed working at the agency. It was a 5-year earn out and we did very well out. But by the time the 5 years was up, we'd all spent all the money and we stayed working at the agency. But we really had a very good relationship with the senior team at Fleischmann Hillard in St. Louis. And John Saunders wanted to be the best agency outside of America. And we did everything. We took their advice. We learned everything from them. And we did become one of the most successful offices outside America. And some of that success was due to the fact that we became very networked with the agency. And to this day, we are a significant part of that agency because we work for clients that are global clients. And we're very lucky because many companies have their European headquarters here in Dublin, and we're able to provide world-class communication services for them here in Dublin, which is fantastic because it reduces their travel commitments and all of that. For example, Fitbit is a very significant client of Fleischmann Hillard internationally, and Fitbit's European headquarters are here in Dublin. And we work for Fitbit and we look after their communications from here. In fact, we are what we would call a hub agency. So we work with their senior team here in Dublin, and with them, we devise the strategy and all the materials, and we then disseminate that out across the EMEA region. So we are at the hub agency, and there's a lot of expertise in developing the skill to be a hub agency, but we have perfected that, and we work for Fitbit here in Dublin for doing all of that. Similarly, for Primark, their European headquarters are here in Dublin. We work with them to devise the strategy and the materials and the messaging, etc. And then it's disseminated out across the European region. And actually, we look after the work for Primark in America also. They have gone into America.
Talk to me a little bit about the larger businesses that you'd work with, so a Primark or a Fitbit. What does a kind of strategy for a large business like that look like in terms of their communication and their public relations?
Look, it varies hugely, but at the end of the day, the business we're in is reputation management. And the reputation of a company or an organization is one of the most important things for that business. Ask any good CEO about the temperature of their reputation and he'll know. And if your reputation's low, I'll tell you something, your share price will be low as well. So it is hugely important. And in the last decade, 10 to 15 years, the value of communications has been, really recognized by the corporate world. And communications people sit at the board table now. They didn't prior to that. People rang their lawyer when they had a problem. They ring their communications person now faster because, if you've got a crisis or an issue, your business value will be seriously damaged by the time you've rung your lawyer if you haven't got yourself together. And, with the speed of communications because of social and digital and all of that, and the 24-hour news cycle always on, all of that, if you don't get yourself in order fast, it'll be out of your control within a very short space of time. So the work we do for small companies and for large companies, it's the same principle. It is managing and minding reputations, developing and building reputations, whether that's advising people on product launches, on sponsorships, on, it's a wide range of work that we do, which is what makes the public relations business so fascinating. It's a really wide spectrum of what you can do. Diversity and inclusion, sustainability, all of that is central to what we are doing for our clients. And it's really fascinating because people who come and work in the PR business, they come from lots of different backgrounds. Lots of people start careers in other areas and they move into communications when they discover that they can do both. They can combine their passion or their training and move into PR. And that's really interesting because it means you get brilliant thinking and rich thinking from a diverse set of people. For example, we have a guy on our team, Michael Moriarty, who he was formerly a lawyer. He worked in McCann Fitzgerald's. It wasn't his first love. He'd done law. He was a lawyer. He now works on our corporate and public affairs team. And he's fantastic. And his legal training is fantastic in terms of building a case for maybe a public affairs situation or a corporate strategy. So, you know, that's fantastic. We have a girl based in our office who is a pharmacist, and she works on our health team. And her, the advice she can give to global pharmaceutical companies, she speaks their language, she understands the intricacies of the therapy areas she's working in, etc. And she loves communications. So she's managed to combine her pharmacy background and her interest in communications. And that's very powerful in terms of what you can offer to clients in various sectors, because sector knowledge and understanding is critically important in our business.
And is that, in terms of your role, would you be involved in particular sectors?
Yes. Look, personally, I started my career in the brand area, and I am very interested in brand marketing, and I'm very interested in retail, personally. And that was where I started. And I loved working on brands, you know, like Budweiser. We do a lot of work for Procter & Gamble, so brands, you know, in the area of health and beauty, you know, whether it's shampoo or whether it's, you know, Gillette razors or whatever, all of that would be an area that I was very interested in. So I started off there. But as I've gone through my career, I've enjoyed corporate, I've enjoyed public affairs. I also enjoy healthcare, and I'm very interested in working in the healthcare area. You know, it is a very interesting area. It's highly regulated in terms of communications, but it's an area where a lot of younger people I see getting more interested in it, because they feel like it is something that they feel like it's something that they are giving back, and it's something very worthwhile. And it suits a lot of people who want to work in areas where they are helping people's lives. And, you know, some of the amazing therapies that are coming out in the medical world, they really are life changing for patients and for, you know, people who have health issues. And it's very satisfying to work in that area.
Was that what attracted you to working in communications initially? What was it, I suppose, when you were studying and everything else that drew you towards the industry?
So, listen, I didn't have any plan to go into the area of public relations when I was studying. I was like lots of people starting out. I kind of wandered up to UCD and I did an arts degree. I studied politics and economics, and I didn't really have a plan. I kind of thought I might do law. And I heard about a course in public relations, a postgrad at the College of Commerce in Rathmines. And I went up and enrolled for it, and I did the course. I didn't really know what it was, to be honest. I had some vague idea, but I did know that I liked, I was very curious as a person. I love knowledge, information, whatever is going on. I was very interested in politics because of the people, not particularly their policies. And I just got involved in stuff in UCD, like the L&H Society, where I loved going along to the debates to listen to people talking about, you know, debating issues and heckling and shouting and roaring. And I was always fascinated more about who they were and what they were doing. And I got really interested in the people side of it. I met a guy at the L&H, actually, and he was interested in politics, and he persuaded me to join Fianna Fáil Cumann. And I didn't even know what a Cumann was, but I joined a Cumann of young Fianna Fáil, and I went along to a meeting in the 51 pub in Haddington Road one wet Tuesday night. And I went in and we went upstairs anyway, and there were a whole pile of interesting looking people there and lots of single men. And there I was in the middle of them all, and they were all talking about I don't know what. And I kind of got into it, and he was just looking for people to join the Cumann because he was trying to be a councillor and wanted the votes. So we all voted for him anyway, and he got in. But I got involved a bit, and I got very interested in politics at that point. But as I say, it was the people and what they were up to. But that all stood to me when I did go into the PR course. And at the end of the year, when you did the course, the guy who ran the course was a very interesting man called F.X. Carty, and I still know him very well to this day. He was incredible when I look back on it, because he put all the CVs of everybody in the class into a folder and sent them to all the agencies. Like, he did all the work for us. He kind of, we all did up our CV, but he put them together and he gave them to all the agencies. And I got a phone call from John Saunders at Pembroke PR on the back of the book of CVs. And I went up for an interview, The only reason he interviewed me was because I'd written on the bottom of the CV that I could type. And my father, in his wisdom, had made me learn to type while I was at UCD. And he'd persuaded me to do a typing course. And he was a doctor working in the Mater Hospital. And he said to me, "I'm a doctor and I have to type because I'm now typing my own stuff into the computer after I see the patients. And everybody is going to need to learn to type," which was extremely smart and wise of him. Mm-hmm. And I did learn to type. And because I wrote it on the CV, and nobody else did because they said they would end up being a secretary if they did, I got the job because, look, all I could do when I arrived was type. So I did start off typing and learning, but it did get me in because I wasn't a complete waste of space for the first few months. And, you know, that, you know, I had a bit of luck and things like that, that I did get good advice and I did take advice. And then when I met John Saunders, that was a huge turning point for me because he became my mentor. He was that one person that we all want to meet in our lives who's going to help you in your career and who's going to make you get on with it. And I probably wouldn't have gotten on with it if he hadn't gotten after me and said, "Come on, you know, you can do this. You're smart. And if you focus on stopping silly, you can, you know, go down this road." And I did. And I worked really hard. I was never afraid of hard work. I worked my head off and I really enjoyed it. And I was blessed because I found the perfect career for myself.
Were you like that initially? I know you said you weren't very good at very many things at the start, but, you know, were you confident in your ability to make success of yourself within public relations?
I am a confident person. I do know my limitations, but I know my strengths. You know, I found two guys to be my business partners who had very different strengths. And between the three of us, we were a powerful trio because we covered off the things. They were useless at detail. They had brilliant ideas, but, you know, in terms of making them happen, I was much better at that. So if everyone has the same strength, it's not going to work. So one of my big jobs, one of my most important roles is finding the right people, getting the best talent on board and retaining the best talent. And, you know, doing that, you know, I am constantly looking for people with, you know, different backgrounds. I love people with the past and people who know sectors. That's what we need. And people with interests. You know, really good people in the communications business, they have loads of interests. They are curious. When they talk to somebody, they will find out everything about that person in terms of what they're doing. You know, if I'm sitting beside somebody on a flight who tells me they're in the boat building business, I will know everything about boat building by the time I land. I'm interested. And, you know, people who are, you know, being curious, you know, I'll end up at a meeting where someone says, "Does anyone know anything about boat building?" And I'll know it. But I will, you know, pick up knowledge that way. And that's really important. And we have a team in Dublin of people who are very focused, curious, committed, but from with very different viewpoints, very different, you know, diverse perspectives on everything. And that's what we really want. One of the most important things for successful communications is doing it in a creative way. Creativity is at the core of everything we do. We were the first agency in Ireland to have a creative director. Brian Malarkey, who is a former actor, who, you know, he studied drama at Trinity and he, you know, was an actor. He came in, he then did the communications postgrad and merged those two and came to work at Fleischmann Hillard. And he is a genius when it comes to brilliant ideas. And they can be for our healthcare clients, for our corporate clients. You know, people sometimes think creativity is just about brand. It's not. Some of the best campaigns that he has worked on have been in the healthcare sector, actually. And we are the most awarded agency in Ireland. We're the only agency in Ireland to have won at the prestigious Cannes Lions. Every year there's a festival of creativity at Cannes in the south of France. And we compete there with advertising agencies and all sorts of agencies for creativity. We have now won for Cannes Lions, which is like unbelievable. And Brian will work with our head of health, Orla Burke, our head of brand, Jill Madden, and they will work together. And between them, they have picked up four Cannes Lions, which is just fantastic. So, you know, that kind of energy, curiosity and creativity is what we need in people and different background expertise, sectoral knowledge and curiosity. There are the requirements for a successful communications person.
In terms of finding the right talent and maybe people that might have different strengths to yourself, do you find that difficult to pick those people up, or do you find it difficult maybe to interview them and assess their capabilities if it's not an area that you're that interested in yourself?
Well, I don't really look, you know, Fleischmann Hillard is a very strong brand name. If you want to work in the world of communications, you want to work at somewhere like Fleischmann Hillard. You know, in accountancy land, you want to work at EY or you want to work at KPMG. So, you know, a lot of the top global networks are here in Ireland, and we're one of those. So, you know, people who are really serious, they will certainly spend a period of time in a top tier PR firm like ours. So we don't have a great difficulty in attracting top class talent in one level. In another sense, though, the pool of talent is very small here in Dublin. So it is hard to find the right people. It's very competitive. And, you know, we're always looking to find people. Now, people transfer out of journalism. People transfer out of, you know, the political advisor arena. So I would be constantly, and so would my fellow board directors at Fleischmann, would be constantly looking out to see talent coming through and, you know, keep an eye. That would be something we would do all the time. We, you know, at both ends of the business, whether it's taking the new graduates on board on our graduate program or just looking at serious expertise at every level along the way, we would be always looking out for that. But having the Fleischmann Hillard brand name is very important for attracting talent, and it works for us.
Did you, at the start of your career, have any plans or goals to kind of get to where you are now? Did you kind of see yourself as the top person in this kind of large agency in Dublin? Or what were you thinking back at the very start?
No, I didn't, because John Saunders was the managing director and he was, you know, entrepreneurial, visionary, etc. But look, Fleischmann Hillard spotted that from the start. So back in 2005, they asked John to lead their EMEA region. So he relocated to London and he ran the EMEA region from there. And then 5 years ago, they asked him to run the global business. So he has one of the biggest jobs in communications in the world. And he is now based in St. Louis, Missouri, where the headquarters are. You know, we're very lucky because we have direct line into the boss. You know, he is doing a fabulous job. And he was the first non-Irish CEO they have had in their close to 80-year history. So, you know, it was huge. We were extremely proud of this. And he has done a fantastic job in growing the business and evolving and transforming the business over the past 5 years, as we need to continuously do. So the position became available. And I think, look, I was lucky. I was probably the best person at the time to take on the role. And, you know, the way global companies are run, the requirements for this role are quite operational. So I don't have a massive amount of latitude in what I can or can't do. So I'm good at running the business. I am a very safe pair of hands. And in terms of managing the business, and particularly through tough times during the economic crash back in 2008-2009, we navigated our way through that very well. And look, this year has been challenging in some similar ways. And we've had a good year. We've been lucky. We've had a good year.
Have you had to learn anything new since becoming the head of the business in Ireland? Or was it something that you were able to take to quite naturally after having spent so many years in the business?
Look, it is different skills. I love client work and I don't do as much client work nowadays as I used to. You know, I will be on pitch teams, but I will always have somebody in mind who would be much better at it than I would to do the business. I am lucky because I have a network of people at Fleischmann Hillard who I can consult all the time on all sorts of issues, from HR issues to, you know, just general management issues. Because we are only a team of between 35 and 40 people, we don't have HR person dedication. We don't have, like I do, I cover a lot of those roles. Our financial director, Suzanne Murray, is just brilliant. And she and I would work very closely on the running of the business between us. And then we have, you know, our business is divided into corporate, health and brand are the main areas. And we have heads of each of those business. We have a very strong board. People tend to stay at Fleischmann Hillard. So the board, I'm not alone in this. It's very much a team effort. And, we, you know, across the board, we have people with really good skills and really wise people. And between us, we figure it out. A lot of people should be careful about going down the route of management. I think it is a waste of certain talent to put them into operations and management when they are fantastic client consultants. And I think we're all maturing in the PR business that it does not, you do not have to be the managing director. And certainly in Fleischmann Hillard, they have made very interesting career pathways for people in terms of being fantastic consultants, not needing to run an office. So we have, you know, global leadership programs, and we have client relationship managers that look after the, you know, international clients. And that's where they are going to, you know, have fantastically rewarding careers. So, you know, there's lots of opportunity at Fleischmann Hillard to pursue different routes to success.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like a lot of, I suppose, career progression in a lot of ways just tends to be, you know, managing more people rather than kind of becoming better at the thing that maybe made you a success in the first place.
Yeah, I really think it's a pity when you see, you know, you see it everywhere in journalism, wonderful journalists becoming managing editors. Mm. You know, they never write anything again. You know, it doesn't say, and often it's not their skill set. And you see it in law firms, you know, somebody who is a fantastic lawyer with amazing expertise in mergers and acquisitions or whatever becomes a managing partner. And, you know, it is a different skill set. It's a wonderful change, and it can be a great thing for someone, but it can also be something that maybe isn't the best move for somebody. And it isn't their strength, and it isn't something that they're going to love.
What have you enjoyed most about stepping into the managing director role compared to what you were doing before?
Look, I managed to combine client work and the management role, but I think, look, it's the people and finding the people and building the team and keeping the team together. And the team is going to evolve. It's not always the right thing to keep the team together, but keeping the core senior expertise and then seeing people coming in and developing their careers. For some people, the best thing they can do is develop their career at Fleischmann Hillard. For others, they're better to move around. It varies. And we get boomerangs, and like there's nothing better. If somebody really wants to come back and we want them back, that's always a fantastic situation. And we have, you know, at the moment we have two really senior people who were with us, left us and came back into more senior roles. One of them is a director of the company now, Neil Kunz. He's fantastic. He's our head of sport. And he went and worked at UTV Ireland, and you know, which became Virgin, and got wonderful extra, you know, expertise and experience, and brought it back with him. And he's fantastic. So, you know, we do love people coming and going. We love fresh blood. We love new thinking. We love young people. We don't have a wide age spectrum and a wide, you know, good gender balance and all of that. We're not going to get the best result for our clients.
This podcast is produced by JetBooks, an online bookkeeping service dedicated to giving you real-time financial information at the click of a button. Head to jetbooks.ie/resources to pick up our free step-by-step guide on how to automate your bookkeeping.
What's been the biggest challenge since you stepped into that managing director role?
Look, I suppose it'd have to be the crash back in 89. That was very, very difficult. But we got through it. And look, this year has been pretty challenging also. But I suppose the biggest challenge, and it's been a wonderful challenge, has been the evolution of the digital world. I mean, that has transformed our business. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. The opportunity is huge. And clients, especially the larger clients, and we work for a lot of large global companies, you know, in the pharmaceutical area, you know, in the brand area, in the corporate area, companies like Novartis, Roche, you know, fantastic, you know, wonderful companies. We're so proud to work for SuperValu. I mean, SuperValu is the most amazing company, Irish company. You know, it's just fantastic to see what Musgrave have done and, you know, what they continue to do, the number of people they employ, the growers that they support, the farmers, the, you know, the Irish produce. I mean, what they have done in their business is amazing, and how they handled COVID-19 has been incredible. The evolving digital space has been a huge thing for us. And it has meant that we've had to hire different types of people and new people into the business. Now, that's been challenging because sometimes I'm interviewing somebody and I'm not really sure what they are doing, but I know they're going to be brilliant. So sometimes you have to take a chance. But, we've managed. And, 5 years ago, we brought on the editor of her.ie. And, she came in to be our lead on social and innovation. So interesting people. I wasn't 100% sure what she was saying, but I knew she knew what she was doing. And, that's the job, to find those people, even if I'm not as clear about the detail on what they actually do. But that's what the clients want. Clients now want one agency to deliver them the full integration service. They want the 360 degrees. They don't care where they get it. If they get it from an ad agency, fine. If they get it from a digital agency, but the PR agencies are best positioned to provide the full 360. And that's where we're winning. And we've seen that in the last number of years. The ad agency can do the advertising, the digital can do the digital, but the media relations and the senior counsel, we're the only people that can do that. So it's been a bit of a golden era for communications and PR in the last decade, actually.
What are some examples of that digital transformation? Can you think of any kind of clients that specifically have really kind of lent into that and what they might have done in that area?
Well, yeah, the brand clients were very quick off the mark. Companies like Cadbury, a very fantastic client of ours, they, used digital and social really brilliantly, lots of different ways. And look, in the past year, lots of their events, et cetera, have had to move online and, a whole different approach. But I suppose something that I have found particularly interesting is the pharmaceutical companies, because pharmacy is so regulated. Most of our clients in that space were very hesitant, very cautious, and kind of last to the party. And now they have really embraced it because it is so perfect for them, because they can focus on a fragmented audience and a specialist audience of mainly health. Maybe they want to just communicate with healthcare professionals in a therapy area, and they can do that really effectively with digital communications. And that's just brilliant when you see it working. They might only want to talk to 300 consultants in the area of, oncology, and they can do it. It's brilliant.
What about smaller businesses? I know you work with some kind of smaller businesses as well as the large multinationals. For them, what's the biggest benefit of having a PR agency on board and helping them with this stuff?
So, yes, we do work for a lot of smaller companies, and it's something that I'm personally really interested in. About 7 or 8 years ago, and in fact, it was during the recession, so it's a decade ago, we set up something we call the FH Boutique, which is designed to provide mini campaigns for companies that couldn't afford to spend a lot of money on their communications. So we do a sort of a shot in the arm for their business, whatever it might be. It could be a retail outlet, it could be a restaurant, it's just a small business. And it's something that is very satisfying. There's a skill to it because you can't get over involved on one level. It's a quick find out what they're doing, work out what they want, document what they want, tell them what you're going to do, and get on with it. And it could be all, a 4 or 5 week campaign that's done with a tight budget, and on we go. But, this can transform a business. Getting out there and telling the world about what you're doing, really can drive business very quickly. And it is wonderful to see, basic PR at work. You set up, you do a little campaign, and they ring you up and say, my God, business has, increased by 20%. It's fantastic when you see it. We also come across a lot of really interesting entrepreneurial types that are on the cusp of making it, just need a bit of help. And sometimes it's because they don't have anybody else senior in their business that they can talk to, because they're the only senior person. And they can, get counsel from us, come do the campaign. And we're always looking out for them, and we'll, maybe do something a bit unusual. A lovely example we have is Monaghan's Cashmere on South Ann Street. Mr. Monaghan is 95. He's Ireland's oldest retailer. He's in the shop today if you'd like to go in. He contacted me about 10 years ago in the middle of the recession and said, we need a bit of help. And we've been doing mini campaigns for him ever since. And he's just amazing. He had to close the shop, obviously, last March due to COVID. And he reopened the shop on the 8th of June after the first lockdown. His daughter, Suzanne, works with him in the business, and she's fantastic also. So we said, look, you mightn't have sold any cashmere in a while, but you need to get out there and tell the world you're open and let's go for it. So Mr. Monaghan agreed to this and we swung into action. But he ended up on Sky TV because they were so fascinated about, you know, Ireland's oldest retailer. And he was interviewed, zoomed all over the world, and it was just amazing. And he got calls from, I think, 25 different countries, customers that he's known over the years. And, you know, lots of the customers phone him up and order over the phone and they post it out. He says he's been doing online shopping way before anybody else. So it's really fascinating. And as I say, very, very satisfying when you see a business reaping the benefits of a bit of communication support. We also work for a really great guy called Mark Loftus, who set up a business called The Paddy Box. And The Paddy Box is a business where you can call up and order a box of Irish products to be sent to your friends or family who live abroad. And initially it was, you know, sending boxes with Tato crisps and Barry's tea and all sorts of Irish products, Cadbury's, over to Australia or wherever. But, you know, he's a guy that has really worked hard at this, and he got a bit of a break during the pandemic because the box business was, you know, took off and he was sending boxes all over the world. He sent boxes to 155 different companies during the pandemic, and he's developed a wide range of boxes, the mammy box for people who have a new baby, all sorts of boxes. It's a fantastic idea. It's a fantastic business. And he deserves to do really well.
Yeah, I think especially for small businesses, even just showing up in the Irish Times or something on one particular weekend, it can really help. We've had a couple of people, Peaches Kemp, for example, mentioned that when they first started It's a Bagel, it was the article in the newspaper that actually helped them kind of double and then triple sales, you know, in the space of a few short weeks.
And it just shows you the power of communications when you see that. We have a fantastic client called Gillian Halpin, and she set up a candle business called Jane Darcy. And she is a fabulous spokesperson for her own business. She is that lifestyle brand. She embodies it herself. She is a super communicator. She just is fabulous. And the minute the media meet her, they love her. So they interview her, they do a piece with her, they will contact her again. Sometimes it's an introduction that would endure. She can do it herself after that. She does a radio interview, the sales go, you know, she immediately sees results. It's fantastic. It's an online business. The quality of the product is brilliant. The packaging is magnificent. And people are all shopping online. Jane Darcy, get on there, janedarcy.com. It's fantastic.
And you're obviously very passionate about these smaller businesses and helping them to succeed. Are you involved in any of the client work when it comes to this particular section of the business?
Oh, yes, I am, because sometimes I would be the person that is out and about and I meet somebody who's got the business. I would sometimes be the starting point, and I would talk to them about what we can do for them. And then I would, you know, introduce them to someone in the agency who would be the right person to do the campaign. But look, I always stay involved. I love seeing the result, and I love hearing that their sales have increased. And I'd be honest to ask them, how is it going? So I am very interested in it. You know, it's lovely, and it's very, very satisfying. But look, Super Value and Cadbury, Fitbit, those sort of clients, they're also amazing in what they're doing. And, you know, Cadbury Ireland is a fantastic client, and they do amazing campaigns. We've just recently finished a campaign, Secret Santa, for Christmas, which has been a huge success. And it's wonderful the way they work things and the creativity. It's brilliant. And they're really brilliant to work with.
You mentioned earlier on about having partners and having partners that can pick up where your kind of weak points are. What specifically do you think are your weaknesses, and how have you kind of dealt with that throughout your career?
Well, look, they say make sure you hire people around you that are better than you are. Not that hard in my case. But look, you know, I have a certain style and a certain strength, but people that have been in the agency, they are just serious experts in their areas. You know, Mark Mortel is on our board and he has had a long career at high level consulting. You know, we recently brought a guy called Paul Bradley on the board, into the company and on the board. He has spent a significant chunk of his career as head of government relations and corporate communications at AIR. You know, so someone like him bringing in that wealth of expertise, you know, is amazing. And, you know, on our corporate team, we have a fantastic consultant called Ailish Joyce. And the advice she gives, her knowledge and her ability to run hubs and to look after global clients is pretty amazing. You know, she just is a brilliant management consultant as well as communications consultant. That's hugely valuable. We have Astrid Brennan, who's another director of the business, and she works on our brand team. And, you know, she's someone who is fantastic at the boutique clients as well as the larger ones. And she's really energetic. And she, you know, during the crash, people were really terrified. They were on their knees. And she, you know, be great at pumping them up and saying, come on, you know, keep at it. It's going to be great. And she'll deliver, you know, she'll just join, you know, join in the excitement. You know, it's great. And then, you know, there's a different skill to managing a large global client or to managing a large national client. Jill Madden, you know, coordinates every single thing for SuperValue and has her team in action. She does the same for Procter & Gamble. Her skill of looking after, you know, larger clients, you know, it's incredible. So, you know, we have, you know, I have a team of colleagues that are really talented and I wouldn't be able to do half of what they do.
Are you involved with any other organizations or even initiatives within Fleischmann Hillard that are kind of maybe separate to the business?
Look, over my career, I have been involved in many organizations and causes outside the business. And I think it's really important. It's good for me, for my own development, but it's also good for the business. And it's a good thing to do. And right across, our senior people are all very connected in terms of serving on boards and being involved in great causes. Personally, I have served on the Irish Heart Foundation. I have served on a number of different boards. I was on the steering committee for the 30% Club, which was set up to encourage female representation on senior board level across businesses, which, you know, I think is extremely important. And I was very happy to do that. So I also served as chairperson of the Public Relations Consultants Association. So I've done lots of stuff and I am involved. I'm about to get involved in a new project within Fleischmann Hillard. But across our business, you know, the senior people, you know, Brian Malarkey, our creative director, you know, he's on the board of the Fringe Festival. You know, that group. Orla Burke is on the board, or, you know, our health person on the board of the Irish Heart Foundation. Jill Madden serves on the board of the Public Relations Association. Astrid Brennan is on the board of the Royal Hospital Kilmainham's. You know, so, you know, we are all connected and we do make sure to do that. And it's something we want to do. And, you know, I would certainly encourage people in the company as part of their own career development to get involved. We do, and we encourage that. And it does help with your connectivity as well and your thinking.
I think I read actually about the 30% Club. It was successful in Ireland, was it, in actually getting 30% of
it was, and actually the numbers have gone right up. You know, the whole objective was that the 30% Club would be out of business because we'd have hit the 30%. And I think it's pretty close to getting there. We've had a great run here in Ireland, and a really good board members, or steering committee members, as they're called, got involved. And it was really important that it wasn't a girls' club. It was, we needed guys on this, and we did from the start. A lady called Marie O'Connor was the first chair. She was a partner at PwC, and she was fantastic. And she pulled in, you know, trying to explain to men that this wasn't going to happen unless men were involved. And she got a lot of very senior men around, you know, senior companies here to get involved and get the thing going. And, you know, it has worked really well. And it's a really important thing. There are a number of groups pushing for this, but the 30% Club has been very successful. And it's a really, really good organization. And I was very proud to serve on it. And I really enjoyed it.
How have you found throughout your career managing, I suppose, family life as well as and you know, having children and everything else? And how has that kind of impacted your career and the time you can spend on the business versus on the family? How have you managed to balance that?
You just get organized. I don't think it's a huge issue. Most people are smart enough to organize their support network. And, you know, if you want to work, you've got to get yourself organized. And it's kind of as simple as that. I'm not being dismissive of it at all. But yeah, I'm organized. I did get organized, get the right level of help, get a system in place. If you have a partner, they need to be supportive and they need to be taking their fair share of the arrangements. But look, we're all sensible. I have people coming back to the office on maternity leave. They've run the country. They're twice as fast as at the work and twice as productive. And the amount of people get an awful lot done, when they want to. And it's amazing what people do. But people want to pursue their careers. And every part of your life is a phase. So there is a time when you might need to step back a little bit. And people do that. And I'm 100% behind people pulling back for a while. They might have a couple of kids at a certain stage, and they might pull back for a while, and then they might lean back in again. And that's great, because that's life. And, you know, we want people to do that, and we want people to be able to work at Fleischmann Hillard and manage their lives. We don't want it to be done at the expense. You've got one life. People saying, I've got a work-life balance. You've got one life. So I'm all for people getting it organized. I do think we've learned a huge amount during the pandemic in terms of what people can do remotely. And I think it's a sea change. And I think it's really important that business leaders all grab this opportunity now to make life better. I would have been a bit of a skeptic, and I'm a complete convert. And I am looking forward to people. I do not want anyone spending 2 hours or 3 hours commuting. We have one or two people who have a long commute. Lots of us, actually, the commute's quite short, but they have a long commute. And it's a complete waste of time. If we can organize things that they could do, I'd rather them doing a couple more hours work or a couple more hours sleep or whatever they choose, rather than, wasting their time commuting. So look, we're going to work out the office of the future. I think how people use offices and what the office is now for is going to be different. You know, people need to have a reason to go into the office now, whether it's for training or for brainstorming or for, listening to a guest speaker or team meeting or whatever it is. But there's an awful lot of desk work that can be done from anywhere. And we need to, embrace that and get ourselves organized around that. And that's going to be our 2021 plan.
I think that's a very good outlook and very good advice as well for the listeners, and a good place to finish. Rona Blake, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you.
This podcast is produced by JetBooks, an online bookkeeping service dedicated to giving you real-time financial information at the click of a button. Our team of qualified accountants leverage the power of cloud technology to automate your manual processes and cut the cost of your finance function in half. Head to jetbooks.ie/resources to pick up our free step-by-step guide on how to automate your bookkeeping. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It really helps others to find the show. I'm your host, Connor Carney. Thanks for listening.